All right, Joe, first and foremost, are you conducting this interview with me while wearing a gator over your face like George Pickens was earlier today?
No, I am not, but only because the weather does not permit me to do so. Had it been a little colder, I would have definitely dressed for the occasion for this interview.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, I was kind of laughing at the video. He was trying to make a very demonstrative, very forthright point. He was trying to come across as really having a handle on this situation, and he couldn't even bother to take the gator down from his face. That sort of undercut the momentum from Jump Street, did it not?
Yeah, and I got to say, I was not there personally to see this, but I've seen many of the clips, and by having the gator above it, you couldn't understand a lot of what he was trying to say anyhow, so I think he defeated the purpose.
Yes, and I will say this, though. He's like Troy Polamalu in one regard. In his rookie season, I distinctly remember doing a radio interview with Troy, and he nodded his head yes at a question for a radio interview, like he did to Pursuit It Today. So when I played back the sound bites, I at least took out the 4 seconds of awkward silence.
Yeah, he wasn't kind of grasping the situation there. And in fact, it came across as, putting it on the media, the media's, we're not the ones who threw the fit on the sideline coming off the field. The cameras are naturally going to catch that. You're not going to get away from that. So it's no sense blaming us for something that you did.
Well, golly, Joe, his coach did the same thing, so why shouldn't he?
Yeah, true. Yeah, so say make a big story of it. Well, don't give us reason to make a big story about it by, simply not doing it.
That said, I've been trying to approach this from a football angle and not a whole, are we taking a 20-year-old kid's character and beating him about the head and neck with it sort of thing. I'm just talking about it from a football point of view. I think an X and O related angle to this is it's a bigger deal because you have a rookie quarterback who's the one that's now being asked to force the ball to him and force the ball to Deontay Johnson, all while he's being told to not force the ball to anybody and avoid interceptions. I think that's part of the reason why this is a story to discuss, but Pickett, to his credit, tried to say the right thing and kind of got Pickens back today too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did come out and did support him. And, one thing that Pickens did say that made sense is all receivers want the ball. And as Kenny Pickett said, yeah, they do, but as a quarterback, you've got a lot of mouths to feed. You're only going to get it a handful of times a game. So you've got to kind of pick and choose how you want to spread it around. And sometimes it's going to be more, sometimes it's going to be less. And on the team that has gotten so good in the last month at running the football and just piling up the yards that way, you're going to have less opportunities to pass and therefore less opportunities to, find these receivers, which probably leads to some of the frustration as well.
Joe Rutter with us from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Read his work there. You can catch him with me at Breakfast with Ben's at Trib Live once a week. Okay, Joe, let's get to other matters surrounding the Steelers as they approach their game against the Lamar Jackson-less Baltimore Ravens, it appears. Tyler Huntley is going to be the quarterback. People portray him as Lamar Jackson light. That, to me, is way too light. It's only accurate in the sense that they don't have to change the offensive framework, but how that offense operates with somebody else besides Jackson at quarterback just shows you how unique Jackson is.
Yeah, it does. There's a reason this guy, even though he lasted till pick 32, was a first-round pick, and obviously Tyler Huntley wasn't drafted at all. Yeah, he can do some things similar to him. He can run. He showed last year against the Steelers that he could run, putting up 72 yards. I don't think he's the match as a passer by any means, and I don't think he just provides that it factor in that offense that Jackson does. And, just the threat of being able to do too many different things. There is only one Lamar Jackson. This guy, if he were more like Lamar Jackson, I think he'd be playing more somewhere else or more with the Ravens, but he's not. And, he's still a player the Steelers have to contend with, but, he's definitely not. And they've shown an ability to stop Lamar Jackson, so I think that should help them going into this game.
Joe, as the big picture starts to broaden on the last 5 weeks of the season, the Steelers are still in it mathematically, and maybe even a little bit more than that now because the rest of the AFC hasn't totally distanced itself from the team. and the schedule appears to be so soft, I just find it hard to navigate through how the AFC North is going to beat each other up between the amount of times that the Bengals, Browns, and Ravens all have to play each other too, and how the Steelers are going to have to find their way through an AFC East 0-4 record, which is staring them in the face if they were to go the wild card route. If they can't get to 10-7 and win the division, it's going to have to be at 9-8, and even that might be pie in the sky thinking.
Yeah, and even at 10-7, I don't think you win a division. I think you're trying to get the, still one of the 6 or 7, wild card spots. And the problem with that is, they're 0-4 against the AFC East, and to get there, they're probably going to be 4-0 against the NFC South. So, those don't factor anywhere in the tiebreakers. Winning all these NFC games is good for your overall record, but doesn't help in any tiebreakers. So that's really hurting them there, I think, going into this. Especially loss to the Jets and the Patriots. If it comes down to that, it weighs against them. So they're going to need some help, I think. And, you're going to have to pretty much win out. I don't think 9-8 is going to get them anywhere. I think they're going to have to run the table. But, and the schedule is more favorable, and having Jackson out this week helps. But I just think it's a stretch to think that this team's going to put that, that'd be 7 wins in a row together. I don't see that happening.
As far as the injury report goes today, Joe, you had Deontay Johnson with a hip, T.J. Watt with ribs. Those guys were limited. Najee, Malik Reed, Chooks, and Larry Ogunjobi all didn't practice. Any of those injuries more concerning than the others in terms of availability for game day?
I wouldn't think so. I guess maybe the one worth monitoring really is Chooks Okorafor. See how he comes through this week. He did only miss the one play. But if the shoulder really is acting up, you might have to get somebody else ready there. And, that's been the one, the good thing about the offensive line is as it's gotten better, they've had all 5 guys out there for every game, getting all those snaps. If you have to throw somebody else in there, like a Trent Scott or a Jesse Davis, that interrupts your flow. And, I think they want to try to keep Chooks Okorafor out there if they can. But it wouldn't be surprising to me if he was also maybe limited or out tomorrow. Then they gear him up for Friday to try to get more of a workload to be able to put him out there on Sunday.
If Pickens hadn't served us up this juicy sidebar story, Joe, I think the two things we're talking about right now is obviously just Steelers-Ravens week. And then the other thing is, where did this offensive line come from? They don't stink.
No, they don't. They've actually gotten better. Kenny Pickett didn't get sacked last week for the first time this year, hit just 4 times. They're doing a better job. I think 5 sacks they've given up in the last 3 games. That's, much better than you figured. The Saints sacked them 6 times coming out of the bye. He's not throwing interceptions. The offensive line is playing better. The running game's getting through. And, they've had a lot of continuity. And it took a while. They added some veterans in free agency, and now they're kind of finding their way. Are they one of the best offensive lines in the league? I don't think so, but they're definitely improved over last year and what they were in the first half.
Joe Rutter with us from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Check out his work at Trib Live. Listen to him weekly with me on Breakfast with Benz. Okay, Joe, let's get into some more of the tactical side of this Ravens game coming up. If Lamar Jackson is out, how high scoring, let me rephrase immediately, how low scoring is this game going to be?
It's probably going to be around the range of what we saw against Atlanta, 19-16, somewhere along there. Maybe a Justin Tucker, Chris Boswell / Matthew Wright day where you're going to have to settle for field goals. I don't see either of these offenses really moving all that well. The Steelers, for all the good they've done lately, still aren't getting into the end zone a lot. So that's something they've got to figure out. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a game built for the kickers.
I agree with you. I think 19-16 is just about the perfect score again. The over-under is sitting there at 37 or 37.5. The defense then has to be good in the second half. In fact, Joe, I think that's a storyline to watch for this game going into Sunday's action is what's the score at halftime and which team is going to play worse after halftime? I'm almost rooting for the Steelers to be down by about a touchdown or maybe 6 points going into halftime because the Ravens can't hold a lead. The Steelers don't play very well in the second half, so perhaps they can get one touchdown. If they're losing, 16-10, maybe they win 17-16 and call it a day.
Well, and but the way they're playing in the third quarter, they'd have to get that touchdown in the fourth.
Yes, and probably a pick six from Minka Fitzpatrick too.
Yeah, exactly. But the only offensive touchdown's on a 4-yard drive in the third quarter. So take that for what it's worth. But yeah, I don't see this team getting more than two touchdowns in the game. And if you're saying that the defense is providing one, you're probably spot on.
Are you like me and found the most jarring thing to come out of Tomlin's press conference this week was his use of Harbs to describe John Harbaugh?
Yeah, that was kind of new. Who knew they were so close and buddy-buddy that they're on a nickname basis like that? That was one of the better things he had coming out of that, because he dropped a lot of his Tomlinisms, throughout most of the rest of that press conference.
Yeah, I think one of the things I kind of appreciated and really enjoyed sort of his waxing nostalgic and romantic about Steelers-Ravens. I tried to bait a little of this out of him. He didn't give me too much, but I think one of the most interesting things is, and it's happening again this week in all likelihood, for as many times as these teams have played together in high leverage, high profile situations, the amount of games that are reliant on one backup quarterback for a team or both playing against each other, it's amazing.
It really is, especially for the Baltimore side with the little amount of time that Jackson has played in these games. And, it's staggering the amount of time the Steelers have had to face, backup. And they've had some success, but they've also had some stinkers against them, too. And, that is going to be a big storyline going into this. Not that Kenny Pickett really can be considered a backup, even though he started the year as the backup. But, maybe this is the type of game where you see Mitch Trubisky somehow get in there because of an injury or something. Not that you wish that, but, it just would go into the theme of, all these backups kind of finding their way onto the field in these matchups.
Finally, Joe, does Najee Harris keep running well in this game? Does T.J. Watt get back to being T.J. Watt?
I think Najee Harris will still have a good game. He still hasn't cracked 100 yet. The way they're using him now, I'm not sure he gets to that level, but I think the Steelers are going to still try to run the ball and be more effective that way. And T.J. Watt, he's due to get a sack, whether he has a big game. I don't know. I think this team is still going to be cognizant of him. Plus, he's trying to fight through a rib injury. That's probably limiting, what he's able to do out there.
Joe, thanks. Appreciate it. I'll bring an extra gator for you tomorrow, and we'll ask Terrell Austin and Matt Canada all of our questions with gators over our faces.
I'm up for it if you are.